If you'd like to turn in your Bible to the first Psalm. Psalm 1. A psalm in a sense which is in two parts, and one part reflects what we've just been singing, and the other part reflects people that have got no thought for God. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. In many ways, Psalm 1 sets the scene for the whole of the book of Psalms. And it's essentially offering us two ways to live: in close fellowship with God, or a life without him. And even as Christians, we are sometimes perhaps able to live a life that only pays lip service to following the Lord. But I'm assuming that for all of us here, we have chosen that path of following the Lord in our daily lives. And we're encouraged to know the presence of the Lord in our lives each day, so that we can find true and lasting peace. Surprisingly, in this psalm, we're encouraged not to do certain things before we're encouraged to do other things. It almost seems as if it's the wrong way around. It's normally say, give us the good news, and then say, well, now then don't do this. But we are told to turn our backs on certain things. That is to repent, and that is all, of course, always a starting point of a relationship with God. Turning from a self-centred life to a committed life in serving God. We repent of our sins, turn to him for forgiveness through the death and the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus. We need to turn from certain things before we can experience God's blessing. And our approach to God, of course, is always on his terms, not our terms. So, what are we not to do? We are not to walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. When I was in the Royal Navy, and that was an awful long time ago, when I joined up as a 15-year-old, not sure exactly what I'd let myself in for, but I soon found out. One of the first things that they taught us to do was how to march. Mm-hmm. And we are told not to walk in step, but in the Navy, or in any of the armed forces, we are to walk in step with everybody else. And if you've seen all the pageantry that we've had on the television over the recent months, you've seen the forces, all three forces, marching all in lockstep, all the way down the mile and all the other roads that the parades took. And that was the military way of doing things. You walk in lockstep with everybody else. And if not, you get into serious trouble if you make a mistake. And we are marching, those Christians, to a different tune than the world. Doesn't mean to say we have to isolate ourselves from the world, which some Christian groups tend to. But we have to keep in our minds that we should be walking in lockstep with God and with his plans for our lives. And our lives are to reflect the fact that we have God within us by his Holy Spirit. In contrast to being influenced by the world, and what a state it is in at this moment in time. If you ever get round to listening to the news or reading a newspaper, most of it's taken up with people running and jumping and fishing and swimming and doing all sorts of different things at the moment. But the wider world is a pretty miserable place. And that is why we are called to be different and to be away from that. And we've got to be reading through God's word and seeking to apply that in our lives day by day, not to be influenced by the things of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are not to be influenced by the standards that the world adapts. But we are to be influenced by God's standards and set apart from that. And in a sense, I discovered that in the Navy. I was actually converted whilst I was in the Navy through another chap, and a Wren, would you believe, who contacted me. Well, I contacted her. She ran a musical club, a classical music club, and I like classical music, so I went along to this club and I told my mate what I was going to do, and he said, "Watch her, she's a religious nut." "I'll be all right," I said. "Ah, I can cope with that, no problem." Well, here I am. so many years later. But she introduced me to Christians in the Navy, and through that, I became a Christian in the Christian Naval Christian Fellowship group, and the leader, this is just as a aside, the leader of that group was a leader in Chris's church. You can work the rest out yourself. That's how we came to be together. But it's not an easy thing for us to do at times, to keep in lockstep with God by His Holy Spirit living within us. But that should be our endeavour. That what this psalm is encouraging us to be in is to be influenced by God through His Holy Spirit, and not to be influenced by the world around us, the news and the things we read in the paper. And then that's our lives. That should be our lives and our aim in our lives. As Psalm 1 gives us these two options. We either walk in lockstep with God or we don't. I'm assuming, obviously, that we are all seeking to walk in that lockstep, in tune, in the correct pace with God through our lives day by day. And just encourage us all to do that more and more as we see a world slowly crumbling around us, that above it all is a sovereign God. Yeah. Amen. 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 Amen.